Welcome to Dear Culture, the podcast that gives you news you can trust for the culture. I'm your co-host, Shauna Pinnock, Social Media Director at The Griot.
And I'm your co-host, Jaron Keith Gaynor, Managing Editor at The Griot.
So you'll notice that we're going to switch things up a bit. Over the next few weeks, we'll be preparing for a very special Tuesday, also known as November 3rd, also known as Election Day. So in prep for the elections, as well as the aftermath, because you know that's coming, next few weeks, we'll be changing things up a bit.
We would like to introduce the Griot family to Christina Greer and Jason Johnson, who will be offering up their political expertise on how voters can prepare for this unprecedented election.
Hi, Boo. You're about 55 years too late. No one sees you as a leader, and you're a capitalist. And I don't understand why these Black men think Black capitalism is somehow better than capitalism. It's just exploiting your own people and leading them down the wrong road. Welcome to Dear Culture, the podcast that gives you news you can trust for the culture. I'm your co-host, Dr. Christina Greer, Associate Professor of Political Science at Fordham University and the Politics Editor at The Griot.
I'm your co-host, Jason Johnson, Associate Professor of Politics and Journalism at Morgan State University, a political contributor at The Griot as well, and partner in crime and shenanigans with Dr. Christina Greer.
That's right. And this week we're asking, Dear Culture, can the president still win this thing? Question mark. Dr. Johnson, it's not looking great. We've got the Electoral College math. We've got record turnout for people voting early in states. We know that voter suppression and voter disenfranchisement are real, but it looks like some folks have just finally reached their wits' end with a grown man who wakes up and has Twitter fingers. It seems like folks are just exhausted and they want to turn out and get some change. We're seeing it not just for the president, but also members of the Senate, especially in the Republican Party. What say you, sir?
So, you know, I've been Black for a couple decades now, so I've never been willing to just trust how anything is going to go.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, actually a piece that I just submitted to The Griot today, talking about this question, right? Because I'm sure this happens to you, Dr. Greer, but like ever since Labor Day, I get a phone call every 3 days from like my mama, my dad, somebody's friend, whatever. Is he going to do it? Is Joe Biden going to win?
Because Black folks know that these polls can't be trusted. And we know that people, insert white people, lie when asked about very explicit people and situations.
Yes. And as I have been saying for years, these polls ain't loyal. We have to understand that forward, right? And so it's not trying to be, you know, hyperbolic or make anybody worry, but
sorry, I'm still detracted by these polls ain't loyal.
You know, make me get the COVID. Now I got to drink more of my stuff. Anyway, so as I was saying, it is possible, and that's sort of the point of the piece, it is still possible for Donald Trump to win, and he didn't even have to cheat. Right. All he has to do is use the courts, and he's put enough judges in. And if you look at a couple seats, you look at Wisconsin, you look at North Carolina, you look what just happened in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. where the Republicans sued to say that any vote that wasn't received on Election Day, even in the mail, couldn't be counted. The Supreme Court just ruled in a 4-4 tie that you have to at least accept votes received all the way until the Friday after the election, which I guess is like November 6th. Mm-hmm. That only happened because Roberts sided with the liberals and they haven't put Amy Coney Barrett on yet. So we are in a situation where legal challenges could allow Donald Trump to still get this election, even though in plain sight to everybody else, Joe Biden should probably win.
Right. And I always try and remind folks that we never processed 2000 and Bush v. Gore, right? So we know that we had some hanging chads, and for those listeners out there, remember it's the state of Florida where right. George Bush's brother just happened to be the governor. And I always tell people, I'm like, listen, if I were running for the presidency and my sister just happened to be the governor, she would move heaven and earth to make sure it works out for me, right?
This
but then the Supreme Court says we're going to rule, and you know, Supreme Court decision, there's the vote and there's the opinion. And right. the vote was 5-4 Bush over Gore, but the opinion was, don't you ever follow this president, never again. That's
yes.
the antithesis of what the Supreme Court is supposed to be.
That's because they did, but they didn't want Al Gore. I mean, like, this is what this all kind of boils down to. It's
hey,
like,
guess what? Neither did Tennessee. Al Gore didn't win his home state. So
right,
that's
right.
what I was telling students. Win your home state first, then run for the president.
Or yeah. when I was a campaign manager, we used to say this all the time. It's like, if you can't get your wife or husband to vote for you, probably shouldn't run, right? Like,
right.
like if your wife is like, I don't really want you to do this. If your husband's like, I don't really want you to right. do this. Is that, what's the story?
Well, Melania didn't vote for Trump.
Melania can't
neither
vote.
Did
she
his
citizen?
Kid.
Is she a citizen? I can't remember.
Well, she came in on on a genius visa.
Right. That's right. She came in on a genius grant.
Listen, not to deviate, but I do think it is wild that most Americans have seen the First Lady naked. I just think that that's like something we don't talk about.
I find that, you know, it's interesting, without specifically mentioning any names, you know, professionals on Zoom and other places, people shouldn't see you naked. If you've got to deliver speeches, people probably shouldn't see you naked. Now, look, if you've got an OnlyFans, then okay, cool. Like, I'm not trying to shame anybody, but it is a whole different level when the First Lady comes from a fashion background.
Okay.
And since she's from a fashion background, it was right. Part of her job.
She's as much of a supermodel as I am. But let's get back on track. So the question is, can the president win this thing? So we've talked about the polls. I don't feel comfortable with the polls because I know that so many white Americans explicitly, and now we're seeing our celebrity black folks saying, you know, I like these tax breaks. Right? I can deal with the racism and the anti-Semitism and the anti-Muslim sentiments and the anti-LGBT stances and the fact that this man is tanking our country and the fact that he cares about no one when it comes to COVID. And he's just like, hey, it is what it is, right? Nobody. They can ignore all of that, their own personal gain. And there's no idea and no sense of feeling like they're part of a collective. There's no collective action. There's no unity. There's no sense of community as a nation. So I don't trust when people say, I don't think they'll vote for him, because I know that there are far too many people who care about their own tax breaks.
Dr. Greer, I must disagree with you. There is collective action on the part of the Trump campaign. They want herd immunity. Remember?
Right.
They want us all to get together at a big old COVID party and lick each other's cheeks and use each other's towels and touch each other's doorknobs and all get sick. That's the magical.
Insert RIP Herman Cain, right? He believed in that nonsense, right? So,
you got to remember that herd immunity, the way this new guy, what's his name? Scott Atlas, who sounds like he should be selling you something on QVC at 2 a.m. This new doctor that Trump has, Scott Atlas, has said, we got to do herd immunity and we protect the limited populations, the elderly, whatever. Look, personally, I'm down for that, right? Because as a black person, we're in a protected community. This might be our way to get reparation. If you're going to pay me to stay indoors during a herd immunity festival where you're going to bring 50 million people outside to the party and the beach, I don't know. I mean, this doesn't make me go a full 50 ice cube, but I'll have to listen to that plan.
Well, let's be clear. I haven't bought an Ice Cube album since high school, and I don't plan on it anytime soon.
No.
guess if 50 Cent decides to hang out with this fool, this president, get rich or die trying. Like me the latter, 50. Don't hang out with people who don't believe in science.
I got 21 questions for 50.
And it's all about us.
And I got many, many more for you. But here's the thing, though. And I ask you this, because I know this as a guy, right? Everybody always asks these questions like, oh my gosh, you know, we got to worry these black men were voting for Trump. In my experience, most of the brothers who I know who are always talking about how they think Trump is gangsta and blah, 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 those dudes don't vote. They don't vote.
Yeah.
They're talking a lot of smack, but they actually don't vote because they think collective action is crap. But in your experience, because I know some brothers don't want to admit that they're not smart to black women. Do you hear that same mentality very often?
I think we have to put it in different buckets. And so I do think that like some of the loud and wrong brothers are the non-voters. It's like, okay, you can have your barbershop opinion, but you know, you haven't registered. You're like a couch potato.
You are a non-factor.
So, but I think we need to look at the voting eligible black men and the likely voting black men. I don't think that they are susceptible to this message. I do think, yes, we're always going to have black police officers, black military folks, and some black men who are sort of aspirational. They want to be in that tax bracket. They aren't necessarily in that tax bracket, but they want to be in that tax bracket. So they're a little more susceptible to the messaging. And as you have written about extensively in the Brio and other places, black women are sort of like the kryptonite to the Republican Party and all those antics.
Right.
But I think of the voting eligible black men who are likely voters, I don't think that they are hearing this messaging. Who's going to get their political lead from Ice Cube, who's been late to the party? Are we there yet? Period. That's the question for you, Ice Cube. Are we there yet?
Really
no.
Not there.
Like, he's taking his like barbershop character and thinks that he's like the leader of some sort of black intellectual movement. And it's like, hi, boo, you're about 55 years too late. No one sees you as a leader and you're a capitalist. And I don't understand why these black men think black capitalism is somehow better than capitalism. It's just exploiting your own people and leading them down the wrong road. I don't think that the vast majority of voting eligible black men are actually going down that road with him. The same reason why Kanye West will probably end up in prison for FEC violations doing this nonsensical run for the presidency. Ain't nobody interested in that. Like, nobody is.
Ice Cube only cares about his dollars.
He doesn't and has care told about us that. You tell yes, us that yes. constantly. You 250, Curtis Jackson.
Right,
like,
right.
He told us that.
O'Shea does not care about the State of the Union. He's just trying to do a ride along with Trump. See, huh? I got all my Ice Cube movies in there. The other stupid thing about it is like, you said it perfectly, loud and wrong. I don't care if you're loud. I don't care if you're wrong, but you can't be both. And you can't be mad about the fact that nobody wants to pay attention to what you have to say when you ain't said a damn thing up until this point. You could have met with Senator Harris. You didn't want to because you didn't want to talk to no black woman, right? Right. You were either afraid or you were too busy making whatever album we haven't listened to. So,
not even downloaded.
I mean, there's not anything I've downloaded from Ice Cube in the last several years, except for his platinum plan or his contract with Black America, whatever, which basically reads like a Black History Month project. Written at the last minute from Wikipedia by a sixth grader. So,
I was going to say seventh grade. Right, seventh grade.
Well, in 14.5. You know you can't use Wikipedia anymore. Right. Sixth graders, though, they're straight on YouTube. They don't even care.
Well, I mean, but see, I think that's the frustrating thing because we're trying to figure out, can this president win this, right? And we're trying to use facts. We're looking at states. We're looking at Arizona and Florida and Ohio and North Carolina and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. Places, and even Texas, right? But places that we know have histories of going out of their way to suppress the black vote.
Yep.
Like, we have skin in the game. We have real concerns, not just as black people, but, you know, black people tend to care about this country in ways that no one else does.
Right.
So to have this final hour insertion of ridiculous rhetoric where nobody's saying the Democratic Party is perfect. But as I've said many times before, if the Republican Party is poop, then the Democratic Party is asparagus. Both of them smell bad, but only one of them I'd want to eat. Right. So it's like, let's stop with this false equivalency of like, oh, they're the lesser of two evils. It's like, read a book, son.
Right.
Read a book. Right. Well, like any book. How about that? Any book written by a black political scientist. I don't know a single black political scientist who was contacted. I don't know a single black historian who was contacted.
Maybe Carol Swain.
I don't know a single person who credibility who was contacted to be involved in this endeavor of his to write this basically Black History Month book report of the Democrats are bad and they didn't call me back. Why didn't you call Karen Bass? Why didn't you work with Maxine Waters? For the decades, Mr. O'Shea, that you've been in California, you aren't a leader in LA politics. You aren't a leader in Black Lives Matter movement. You haven't read a lick. You haven't worked with anybody who's been planting the seeds and growing the foundation. You haven't done it. So now what? Mid-October in the year of our Lord 2020, sir, you want to come in and try and tell me something? I suggest you sit all the way down in that little Cadillac and go back to whatever hills you live in, sir, because I am thoroughly not interested in you.
And the people who cape for him, I'm just like, is this your king? One of three? But I think this is critical. We're, again, talking about this sort of core question of can Trump win? It's indicative of the distractions that Trump has to throw out there because the numbers aren't in his favor. Ain't nobody changing their opinion because of Ice Cube. Nobody's changing their opinion because of 50 Cent. Nobody's changing their opinion because of this ridiculous Scooby-Doo mystery of like a MacBook repairman finding Hunter Biden's MacBook that's got, you know, hidden alien documentation on it and child. Like, no one's buying that this late in the game. And by comparison, right, it was what, next week or week and a half would be the 4-year anniversary of Comey talking about new laptops and emails, right? Mm-hmm. The only reason that worked on Hillary Clinton in 2016 is because, one, there were 30 years of sexist attacks and anti-Hillary propaganda that was out there, a lot of which was just sort of aftermath that she got from being married to Bill Clinton, who screwed over enough people on his own, and a lot of media people didn't like him. But you don't have that with Joe Biden. What gets me is that Joe Biden is so clean. He's so clean that they got to go after his son. Think about that.
Like, he's been in politics for over 40 years. You want to nail him to the crime bill that almost every black politician voted for, by the way, right? It was a bipartisan effort that everybody was excited about. So it's like, here we are, like in the final hour, you're trying to just distract. And the issue is this. The issue is COVID. The issue is, do you have a job? The issue is, are you getting evicted? The issue is, can you pay your mortgage? The issue is, what does the economy look like? Because he loves talking about like, I've given all these black people jobs. And it's like, first of all, the numbers have to be for people who are actually looking. And like, just because you've done a few things on the federal level with crime and public policy does not mean you've done anything about state incarceration or state prison populations. We know you don't like the blacks. Like, it's very, you are on record saying it, right? So like, I don't understand why it is that so many people are still on the sidelines, because we know that even in the the most popular elections, we still only have about 60% of the voting eligible population that turns out in every presidential election. So I'm actually curious, who are these 40% who are just sort of like, yeah, I know everyone's talking about an election, I'm just thoroughly not interested?
Well, I feel like this is the one year where like that could make more sense than usual, because I mean, COVID's got everybody down, like people out of work, people out of jobs, people having to stay with family members, people, you know, becoming basic COVID nomads and everything else like that. There's a lot of instability out there. And I could see people being, you know, just people being depressed and anxious and everything else like that. I can see this being a year where some people are like, I just had to kirk out. On the other hand, it's also leading to lots of people turning out to vote because they're like, I don't want to be, look, next year at this point, Dr. Greer, God bless, we're both still here. Yeah. I want us doing this face to face. Okay. Yes. Nobody wants to be doing this Zoom crap in another year. And if the current president ain't got a plan, right?
Or believes science, by the way.
Or believes in science, he wants to have these MAGA rallies with open buffets and kissing booths and back massages, just spreading COVID all over the place.
He's like, let's braid each other's hair.
and breathe into your face.
Here's the thing. I love how the burn was, you know, Joe Biden believes in scientists. I was like, and I'm sorry, sir, that is unattractive to whom, please?
Apparently Kimberly Guilfoyle and the rest.
And listen, hey, Gavin Newsom, I'm looking at you sideways.
Look, thank you. When I was like, bro, when did you find out? Like, how did you not know? I used to say this about, what was it? You remember like Sandra Bullock all those years ago? Or Sandra Bullock and Halle Berry. Explain to me these people who date these problematic racist folks and then somehow only figure it out when the relationship is over. It's like, Gavin, really? You didn't know Kimberly Guilfoyle was like a sexually harassing, raging sort of bigot person?
I'm looking at a lot of people sideways, but right. Here we are. Here we are. I'm going to keep my mouth shut on this guy.
I don't know these people, so I can say, it's COVID. I'm not worried about Ice Cube ever coming after me.
Listen, that's the thing. It's like, I am talking a lot of smack to you, Ice Cube, because guess what? You're so ensconced in your little castle in LA, like you wouldn't even know how to navigate the world. You're raised in captivity right now. Like, that's what you have to recognize. It's like, that's the problem with capitalism and black capitalism explicitly. You have people thinking that they understand what was happening on the ground. And it's like, you are in your gilded cage. Stay there and be comfy. Just don't start yippity yapping because you have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, and I also think this is something that I think it's not unique to black people, but I do think, and I've been talking about this sort of section of like a certain number of straight black men who conflate contrarianism with being independent thinkers.
Yes.
And it's completely different. Like, just because you said something that other people haven't said that elicits a reaction doesn't mean it's deep, doesn't mean it's correct, doesn't mean it's right. I can stand in front of 100 people right now and say Butterfinger is the best candy bar ever. Now, I know I'm right.
It might be, though.
Yeah, thank you. And there's
finger
some
of butter.
Right. And there's some evil people out there who are like 80 years old who would say it's a Hershey bar or something like Baby Ruth. Those people are wrong and should be jailed. But the point is, just because I say I'm a contrarian doesn't mean that it's automatically deep and true. And that, I think, is a problem a lot of our public discourse that has been, even guys like Kaepernick, who for a long time, we can be supportive of Kaepernick, but when he was like, I'm not voting, it's like, dude, you can't talk about collective action, like all taking a knee against police brutality.
And then sit on the sidelines and not change DAs and attorney generals and, you know, messed up senators in your state. Now, I got a question for you before I let you go. Someone asked me this today, and it's about the long lines we've seen in, you know, the millions of people who have already voted early. I mean, this is the thing. I think people finally realize democracy is not something that we can put in a frame and put on a wall and look at it. It has to be a series of daily choices we make as individuals and a society. And we have to work on it, right? It's a relationship. We are in a relationship with our democracy. And if you neglect it, then it's been
really abusive and it doesn't text me back much.
Listen, if we were talking about Mr.
Big. I think she's still not an Obama guy.
This is like the worst. I mean,
this is the Marvin's room of relationships. Like, that like, you love so bad. I know
this
you
is
still
like
want
a
me.
Bad episode of Love Jones and Jason's lyric wrapped in, you know, everybody that Joan dated on Girlfriends. I don't know, but like, it's time to go. It's time to wrap this up. But someone asked me if young people were going to save the day for this election. And I think that it's actually the elderly who are going to save the day and young people are going to learn from them. And then we're going to see, and maybe I'm just in an optimistic mood, but young people are going to see just how much elderly people turn out. Because it's like, I haven't been able to see my grandkids. I haven't been able to live my fullest life in retirement. I'm sitting here trapped in this house feeling like I'm atrophying mentally and physically. Yeah. And so I do think that they're going to be the ones that sort of bring it home, if, you know, if Joe Biden is successful. And I think it will jumpstart how young people view their democracy as this living, breathing thing that they have to be responsible for in ways that I think older folks drop the ball. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be young people, old people, or somebody in the middle?
Honestly, Dr. Greer, like, it's across the board. The number that has always, I mean, there's several numbers that really jump out to me right now. Mm-hmm. The fact that Joe Biden is, like, tied with white seniors. I mean, like,
which is never the case.
Yeah, he is tied with white seniors. They're like, yeah, no, we're done with Trump, right? You know, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm not tweeting, right? There's that. But also, a lot of the numbers, you look at Texas, you look at North Carolina, you look at Georgia, the number I've always been paying attention to is you've got 10, 12, 13, 15, sometimes 20% of early voters are people who either didn't vote in 2016, mm-hmm. so they just stayed home, or they're first-time voters. So mm-hmm. I think it's coming from both ends. I think you've got older people and younger people who are like, this is crap, we don't like it. And I think the realization, and this is why Trump has to go to the courts and has to pull all these shenanigans, I think the realization on a lot of people's behalf is, no matter what the polls say, no matter what the numbers say, no matter how many Republicans say they're scared, no matter what you hear on 24-hour cable networks, people know that we have to have an overwhelming majority, mm-hmm. huge margins in all of these states, because Trump is going to try and use the legal system to eliminate as many votes as he can. So you got to secure this bag, okay?
Secure the bag. Well, I think, you know what?
Heavy to steal.
You know what it reminds me of, though? It reminds me of, like, Black parents constantly telling their children time and time again, you got to be twice as smart and twice as good to get half as much. And I think Black voters understand that. They're like, no, we got to run these tables. Like, this is what Stacey Abrams was essentially trying to do in 2018. She's like, no, it's not enough just for me to win. I got to blow this dude out because I know the amount of theft that he is going to attempt. He's going to deliver machines with no cord. He's going to deliver machines with no ballots. He's going to have no provisional ballots. Right. He's going to have misinformation.
He's going to have cardboard boxes that say vote, like painted by the Chick-fil-A cows.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he has done so, well, he did so much. And so the thing is, it's like, she won a lot. She did a lot, but it wasn't that crazy amount to secure the bag to overcome his cheating, right? And his theft. And listen, I'll fight anybody on that.
Reason I feel the way I do about Jamie Harrison. I'm like, I need Jamie Harrison.
Yeah, I don't need you to be up 1%. I don't need you to be up 1%. I need you to be up 7%. Exactly. Right. Seriously, I need South Carolina to, like, blow Lindsey Graham out the water. I know Lindsey Graham is nervous, but, you know, when you're in that percentage or that margin of error, I need you to be beyond that 3%, right?
Exactly.
So that there is no confusion and no drama. So you think that it's just going to be across the board, kind of newcomers, folks who have abstained in the past, but now they're back.
Right.
But if we had to pick an age demographic, what are you seeing so far with some of the numbers that inspires you?
So I'm always inspired by young people voting because they're hit and miss. Older people, even though we've seen large turnout for them and it's working well for Biden, the first-time voter numbers are amazing. And quite frankly, the first-time voter numbers in a post-Voting Rights Act era, when voting by mail and early voting is not easy in every state.
No.
And I don't know about you, but, like, I talked to my students at the beginning of the semester. We've gone through and double-checked our voter registrations. I got, like, 23 students in my class. I think, like, 21 of them were registered to vote. I mean, like, I was impressed, and that's in and out of state. So I think a lot of young people have taken upon the time to register, to check their registrations, to vote early. That is always a good thing. And you mentioned the lines, right? Now, I say this because of the critics who are always out there. It's like, wow, Black people, look, these are real lines. These are lines people want to vote. Not to get a spicy chicken sandwich, right? Not to do a concert. I mean, although...
Which I still haven't had, by the way.
They're quite good, and I'm quite hungry now that I'm thinking about it. But yeah, like, I have to say I appreciate this because it's voter suppression. Dr. Greer, I don't know about you. I've never waited more than 40 minutes to vote. It took 7 hours of my day.
I mean, normally my old place when I lived on the white side of town, if it was 5 minutes, I was hot.
Right.
I was hot.
Right.
So, I mean, the most I've ever waited, I think, was like literally like 7 minutes in every election that I've ever voted. But I also take advantage now in New York of early voting. But because I have a flexible schedule, I don't have to go the first day. I don't have to go first thing in the morning when everyone's trying to do it before work. Like, I can actually go in multiple times, miscellaneous times of the day to do that. And that's why when people are coming up with a voting plan, if your state has early voting, people, and you don't have to go on the first day and you don't have to go on the last day, if you can be flexible, go sometime in the middle. And you don't have to go bright early in the morning. You don't have to go 5 minutes before they close. So to make it a more robust experience, because we also have to remember, Jason, this is, you know, 2016 was the first time we went to the polls without the full protection of the Voting Rights Act.
Exactly.
1965. Exactly. And so we're still going to the polls without the full protection. So we have to remember there are a lot of systems in place to make it much more difficult for us to participate. Why in my house? I just lost my train of thought.
Really? Really? It thinks you're Mike Pence.
I will come through this phone. It is
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she's coming to warn you about impending difficulties because of Amy Coney Barrett. That's what it is.
Well, I guess we'll talk about her at some point in time in our next iteration. So, yes. Hey, listeners, Rio family, thank you so much for tuning in.
Go out and vote.
We've been doing this special program for a while, Dr. Jason Johnson and shenanigans and politics, but I would implore everyone not just to go out and vote, but have a vote voting plan, right? So you can go to vote.org and see what the deal is with your particular state. And it's not just a voting plan for you. We need to be calling every single person, you know, even people who you think are totally with them. It's like, what is your voting plan? And just making sure it's a community effort, because we don't want November 4th to realize, oh, we should have called that person
right, to
remind them, you know, especially our friends and family members in Georgia and Florida and North Carolina and Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and Pennsylvania and Texas.
Yes.
Like, there are quite a few folks that we can just remind them and motivate them to be a part of their living, breathing democracy.
Most definitely. I got my ballot. I'm ready to drop it off. One of my best friends who's sort of homeridden with a chronic illness, I'm going to be picking up his ballot and being a witness to him signing it off so that I can actually drop it off. So if you can find at least one person in your life who could use help either picking up or dropping off a ballot, that's like voting twice. It's almost like being rich. You should make sure.
Or die trying. You can find me in the club right after this election's over. Dr. Johnson, I love spending time with you.
We need to set that one up. That was just flow.
That's just what we do. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, I'll see you next week, Dr. Johnson.
See you next week.
Until soon.
We want to remind our listeners to support your local Black businesses and donate to your local organizations and religious institutions. This week, the Black business we will highlight is Malcolm X Legacy Shop. Created by the five daughters of Malcolm X, Kabbalah Shabazz, Jamila Lumumba Shabazz, Malak Shabazz, Atala Shabazz, Ilyasa Shabazz, they are made in tribute to Malcolm X's 12 principles. This apparel store carefully crafts style with legacy. The Griot has published a list of 50 plus Black businesses to support during the coronavirus pandemic. If you'd like your business to be featured, please email us at info@thegriot.com. That's GRIO.com.
Thank you for listening to Dear Culture. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with anyone you know.
And of course, please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments, we love them, to podcast@thegriot.com. The Dear Culture podcast is brought to you by The Griot and executive produced by Blue Talusma and co-produced by Sundas Hassan, Kyrie Williams, and Kevin Y. Brown.